What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, a holistic life and business coach, speaker, and author. And I created this platform for us to grow into the best versions of ourselves through health, business, and personal development. If that sounds good to you, you're here in the right place, but it's not only going to be from my own experiences and solo episodes you might hear on this platform, but it's going to be also from influential guests that we bring on that I feel like have value and a story to tell and lessons in that story that hopefully we can all learn from and implement within our own respective lives. If you're here for that, we'd love for you to just share this out with one person. Leave us a rating and review if you do enjoy the episode or previous episodes that you listen to. If anything resonates with you, everything will be down in the show notes below. We look forward to serving you here on this platform. Enjoy the episode. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you are doing absolutely wonderful. Welcome back to the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, holistic life and business coach, speaker, author, and of course, podcaster here. But if you are here because you heard about our exciting guest and this is your first time here, you already maybe seen the title, you've already seen who's on, you're here in support. We welcome you. We appreciate each and every one of you for being here. If you're a returning listener and you're like, Brian, this is nothing new, every guest that you bring on is always amazing and I want to hear more about their story, go ahead. If you haven't done so already, please go ahead and rate and review on Apple iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, give us some type of feedback as well. If you did enjoy our guests, if you enjoy the way this podcast is moving, let us know. All of our information will be down in the show notes below. You can check all the information out there, reach out to us and let us know how we're doing. Maybe even some guests that you recommend for us to have on the podcast. We would love to hear from them. That being said, let's not belabor this any longer. We want to welcome on my brother, my good friend here in Dallas. Man, brother from another mother, Caleb Gautreaux. Welcome on, brother.
What's going on, man? Glad to be on.
Man, this is going to be awesome. Guys, you're going to be in for a treat. The reason why I bring certain guests on is really for their story. This is the Evolve You podcast, where we help you evolve into the best version of yourself through health, business, and personal development. And when you combine all of those different factors, you will see that everyone's story is powerful, because a lot of times we look at people and we see them on this mountaintop, this pinnacle, and we don't really know where or how they got to where they are now. So we want to dive into Caleb's story. We're just going to have good conversation here. Hopefully you sit back, relax with a cup of coffee, some tea, maybe you're eating dinner, maybe on a drive, wherever you are, and just enjoy this episode. All right. So I'll do a brief introduction of Caleb and then we'll dive into his story. So Caleb Gautreaux, he's the founder and CEO of Journeymen Creative. It's an all-in-one media house that specializes in all pre and post-production, from photo, video, websites, graphic design, creative consulting, strategizing, and event coverage. He is also a proud husband, new dad, man of God, but it didn't always start this way. Through turmoil, multiple jobs, industry, even self-doubt, he leaned on friends, God, family, and overall resilience to find joy, happiness, and finally, overall fulfillment in life. Caleb, welcome onto the podcast. Thank you so much, brother, for being here. Can you expound upon that story for us just a little bit? Give us a background for the people, where you're from, and then we can kind of go succinctly there with your story and then just kind of expound upon it for the people.
Yeah, so I'd say I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. Real big sports town, football, baseball. If you did anything creative, you were considered a sissy type of but my brother's a musician. My dad's a musician. My mom was a musician. I was really the only one that was, you know, just sports. So I guess the creative gene is there. I just never really explored it. I was, you know, was too involved with soccer and wrestling and stuff like that. And so growing up, I'd always been fascinated with cameras and just creative stuff, art in general. Just never really explored it. And so long story short there, you know, had the opportunity to play soccer in college, decided not to, and went into nursing school. That was the route. I was going to be a nurse anesthetist. I was set. That was just what it was. So while I was doing that, I was working for a chiropractor as a rehab tech, and really enjoyed the personal relationship, that kind of like bedside manner, that let's talk through this. Let me help you take steps and getting from where you're at now to your end goal. And so jumped full into like coaching and like working out and, you know, writing programs for people. And there was something about that. I want to help your story, you know, get better almost. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, fast forward to now, I had no clue at the time that I would be telling people's story, but just in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I moved here to Dallas, and I mean, everything changed drastically. And I would say that's probably one of the hardest points in my life. We were married for only a year, 2 years, and decided to move. And those were probably the worst 2 years of my life. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't think that we would make it as a couple, just because there was so much change going on. I was questioning what I was doing. I felt, and this was probably all on me, but a lot of pressure from her father to be like, hey, what are you going to do for a career? And, you know, mm-hmm. what is it? What does that look like? How are you going to provide? How are you going to support my daughter? And then the same thing from my parents, you know, what do you plan on doing? What's your career path? What's your 5-year plan? And I don't even know what I'm wearing tomorrow. Like, I don't know. And it's kind of funny how it all unfolded. And, you know, the introduction that you said is perfect. I mean, the faith and the friends and all that, there was such a questioning period in my life. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Why am I supposed to do this? And I mean, I think it's, I look back and I find beauty in doubting everything that you think you're supposed to do. It's like, you start to question even your faith. You're like, why do I believe this?
Yeah,
it really makes you find out why you care. And then that's when your relationships and your friends and your spouse, it's like, okay, I'm gonna lay down my pride and I'm gonna really figure this out. Like, what do I actually like to do? I like to do this. And then having somebody there to say, hey, I support you, we'll figure it out. It doesn't make sense that you're gonna press buttons and record somebody for a living, but if you're good at it and you know, you can pay bills, sure. But yeah, I mean, we went through a lot to get to where we're at now. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Everything you say, you're like, man, I went through a lot there.
Yeah. I'd love for us to, because when people see that story and kind of hear it, it takes them through a journey, but they don't see the minute details of what makes up the human. Can you take us back? We're both from Alabama. We grew up in an era where it was checking the boxes, and it was like we had the support, but it was this pressure upon providing, protecting as a man from the South. And if anyone's listening, you know, no offense here, but it is a different you know, feeling coming from that space of making sure that you have everything in order, especially as a man. Can you take us back to maybe your dad, how your brother influenced you a little bit? Like, where was the point in your childhood where you began to question a little bit? Did you ever have a pivotal point where you were like, I don't know why I'm choosing this. Like, I don't know why I feel left out. I don't know why I'm choosing this. I don't know why I feel different. Like, was there any point in your childhood where you just felt different? Everyone was a musician and you were playing sports. It was like, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, I'd say probably my sophomore year in high school, we had just moved back to Alabama. And tying that in with my father, I think my dad did a very good job at never forcing me to do anything.
Yeah.
He would always question why I did stuff. And his thing was, if I can talk you out of it, you didn't really want to do it. And so that was kind of my dad's approach, which I appreciated because I'm very much that way. I'm like, I'm hell bent on this and you can't change my mind. But one of the only people who can change my mind is my dad. And so my dad's background on that is, you know, his father really wasn't like super involved. And then when any conflict would come up, he would run. And so my dad was the exact opposite. He was like, I don't want to be that influence for my kids. And so he would just bunker down, man. He was like, I'm gonna plow through it. I'm just gonna do it. And so that was his mentality going into it. And so tying that into, you know, my relationship to what I'm, you know, trying to figure out what I want to do. I'm like, okay, I have my dad who just won't quit. He just doesn't know how to quit something. My brother's a creative. He's probably one of the luckiest people and just has the most favor on his life ever. And I'm like, okay, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. But you have somebody who doesn't quit, who will just finish and do anything and everything. And then somebody who can just walk in and just be good at stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the middle. Mm. Like, all right, I don't want to be in ministry because I've seen the inner workings of that. I'm not interested there.
Because your dad's was in ministry, right?
Yeah, my dad was in ministry for over 30 years, and he actually just mm-hmm. got out of ministry to do full-time, you know, leadership development and business consulting, which is what he did for the church anyways. There you go. 30 years of just bunkering down. I'm like, all right, Dad, you need to quit. You proved anything. You proved it. You won. I'd say the pressure, I guess for me specifically was with ministry because, you know, my whole family was in it. And it's hard looking at what my life might look like with that because I had two people who were very good at it to compare myself to. And I'm like, okay, well, I've never really measured up to my brother because, you know, he sings really good. He's a musician, a great leader, a father, and a pastor. And then my dad is also a pastor, OG, knows all the big wigs and, you know, the Benny Hins and the whatevers, you know, the big ones. So I'm like, man, like, how would I even start with that? There's such big shoes to fill. And so going back to your first question, which is like that cultural pressure, it's, the South is like, you get married young, you have kids young, and, you know, you go to school and you get a job as a lawyer or a doctor or a something, and that's what you do. You're 9 to 5, and then you go home and dinner's ready for you, and you know, you say hey to the kids, and then you go to bed and you do it again.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. No, I think that gives a lot of people context if they're listening, because as we move through your story, it's so interesting to see like this different version of you. Even for yourself, you're like, man, like the 5-year-old version of Caleb. And that's maybe a good question. Like, how do you view yourself now versus 5 years ago, version of Caleb?
Man, that's a really good question that I actually think about a lot. Mm-hmm. Caleb 5 years ago was just ignorant. Mm-hmm. Just thought he had it figured out.
Yeah.
Prideful, huge ego, good work ethic, but not smart.
Yeah.
Not a smart worker. That was the whole reason I needed to get out of the South. Is not that the South is bad, but for me, I felt like I was capped.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had reached this ceiling of culture, of mindset, of relationships, just everything. And I was lashing out. I was hurting is what it was. I was hurting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I was hurting the people around me, but it was basically a cry for help.
Yeah.
I didn't know why I was so frustrated, but now looking back, I noticed that I was like, a lot of it was self-inflicted, sure. But I don't know. It's just, I needed to be stretched. I needed perspectives. I needed somebody to tell me that I wasn't good at what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I needed somebody to pull the rug out from under me. I needed to step in my own crap. I needed to be embarrassed. I needed to be called out just all around and to be humbled. Because I thought I had it, you know.
That's good. That's so good. I think that's a good transition point to get you to the point where you actually pivoted. Like you and Sophia, your wife, you guys decided, okay, we're going to uproot, we're going to move to Dallas. Why Dallas? How did that happen? Can you take us back to that point when you said, hey, babe, like, we're leaving, we got to go. And then let's go into the Dallas range right there, which was, it was uncomfortable for you. That was the humbling moment for you. So what was that? Take us back there.
Yeah, so had this feeling. I was like, man, I got to get out. So I grew up in church my whole life. I was a Christian, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. Very surface, a lukewarm type relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I had started realizing that there needed to be more, I had really started being more intentional with my relationship with Christ. And that changed everything. I think that was like the wake up call. It was like, hey, I have more for you, but I'm just not going to tell you what it is. And then I'm like, okay, well, that makes me feel much better. Like, great. Where are you bringing me, dude? And so I remember going to my wife and being like, hey, I think we need to move. And she was like, no way. This is like our first year of marriage. We're just settling down. Like, we have an apartment. We're, you know, working on our career, we're growing. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't think we're supposed to grow here. There's just something that I feel that we're not meant to be here. And so at the time, my brother lived in Dallas, and I remember going to visit him and just feeling kind of like a sense of peace when I came here. It was very refreshing. I was like, oh, it's a big city, and you know, people are progressive. And the thing I always go back to when I came here, it's like, man, people, like, there's such a good conversation here. I know that sounds funny, but, you know, thinking back now, I'm like, oh, people just had different perspectives that I wasn't used to hearing. See, you know, back home, everyone talks about the same stuff in the same context, in the same mindset all the time. And you're in a bubble. And I'm not saying that that's bad, you know, if that's what you're into, great. But for me, I realized that I needed more for myself and for my family. And so I was like, hey, I think we're supposed to go to Dallas. I have a pretty good confirmation on this. And Sophia said, no, she was like, absolutely not. I just moved here. Cause she moved in from Houston. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just don't think that we're supposed to, you know? And I said, we'll pray about it. I said, I know that we're supposed to go, but I'll give you 6 months. Mm. And I'm going, I'm out. Whether you're coming with me or not.
I still love you, but I'm listening to the big man upstairs.
Look, man, I mean, he's going to get his way either way, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, let's do this. Let's pray about it for 6 months. And I said, let's make our relationships in our life here so good that we wouldn't want to leave when it comes time to leave. And that was a really big, you know, kind of eye-opening experience moving forward, because that's how we treat everything now, whether that's a job, whether that's a client, whether that's whatever. It's like you want to make everything so good and so perfect that you're like, oh, I can stay here. And that's when you know that that relationship or that place is made right to where you can now exit out, because you don't want to burn a bridge. So that's kind of how we treated Alabama. And once we both came to that place together, we both felt peace about like, hey, it's time to go. And everything transitioned smooth. I actually didn't have a job moving out here. I totally came out here on faith. Had a few like opportunities, put in a few applications, heard back from one, but nothing was guaranteed. My wife had a job like literally within a week. That was a blessing. But yeah, we moved in with my brother and he let us stay there for a little bit, you know, rent free. And then obviously he's like, hey man, you got pay some power bills out here, you know?
Yeah. I got my own family here. You're going to have to contribute.
Yeah, it just had a little girl. So, I mean, it was great. It was definitely a testing season, but yeah, that's kind of the beginning steps of how we got out here.
Wow. So we're in Dallas, and there has to be And I love that we're both believers. And if you're listening right now or watching this, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, whatever level you are, but there had to be a sense of doubt or did I make the right move for my family at that certain point. So you move out of your brothers at a certain point, right? And it's just you and your beautiful wife. And you're like, we're gonna figure this thing out. At that point, you had entered into nursing, right? Like you were taking the classes, you'd finally got maybe a job. Can you take us there? Like you'd finally gotten settled in Dallas. And I remember, because we've talked offline, obviously we're good friends here, but it was tough. Like, can you take us there a little bit?
Yeah, so came here, immediately enrolled in Collin. And for anyone who knows or doesn't know what that is, it's a smaller kind of like a community college, a very good nursing program. So at the time I was still in pre-nursing, so getting the associates, I think I had like 20 credits left. So I transferred everything transferred fine. I was able to get, you know, in county tuition, which is at a lower rate. So that was a blessing. I wasn't paying crazy amount out of pocket mm-hmm. for out of state. So went into that. And I mean, in the beginning I was super excited because I'm like, all right, you know, new city, new people, new me, new mindset, you know, let's get this money. Let's take some ground here. And, you know, started doing it. Everything was, you know, going well. I had just gotten a job at J. Crew as a key holder, which for anyone who knows what that is, it doesn't mean anything. you get to hold a key and you're the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
Was working there, hated it. Absolutely mm-hmm. hated it. When that hit, realized I was like, I really hate this. Mm. That was when it got tough. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sad person. I don't really ever struggle with anxiety or depression, you know, thankfully. But at that point in my life, I was extremely depressed. Mm-hmm. For me, it was hard working towards something and being stuck. I felt like I couldn't get past the start line. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I'm treading water, but every 5 minutes there's an extra 5 pound weight that's being tied to my ankle.
Yeah.
And I'm having to work harder and harder and harder and harder, and I'm not making any ground. Mm-hmm. So working J. Crew. So at that point in my life, I was working 3 jobs and going to school full time. So I was working at J. Crew. Then I would go to class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so I was taking 18 credit hours. And then after class, I would drive to a gym that I was working out at. And I was coaching 3 classes and also doing 2 personal training clients in person. And then I had like 1 or 2 remote clients where I would program for them, you know, from my laptop. And then I would work morning shifts at J. Crew, and then some night shifts. I would work at Lululemon after that. And I had a wife and I was working out and I was having to maintain grades. So it was a lot. And a lot of that was self-inflicted. Sure. You know, I was really trying to provide. I'm like, I have to prove myself. Just came out to Dallas. I'm not about to ask for help from anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my, you know, Sophia was working, you know, as a hairstylist, which she still is. She was building her clientele. She was doing great. And so it was basically just this, it was just a hard start mm-hmm. to a new city. And I wasn't enjoying it. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you were vulnerable there and taking people through that and taking us through it as I know the story, because I was there. I've told my story before. I mean, as I moved down to Dallas, that's where Caleb and I met, was at J. Crew. I had a job in pharmacy school at J. Crew, where I was just like, hey, I need to make some extra money on top of me working my pharmacy intern job at Target. And I said, well, if I move down to Dallas, why not just make some extra money? So I just said, hey, I'll transfer to the J. Crew down there. And that's where we met. So I saw this firsthand. And the cool thing and the really powerful thing that I saw was that you wouldn't see what was going on behind the scenes unless you knew. It was like this man said, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I think that is where people that are listening are trying to get the resilience. What kept you going? And I know the answer, really, which is your faith, your family, you know, just your pride too. But also, if someone doesn't have that, where do you feel like they can lean on to maybe find that like inner grit to say, there's something on the other side, you just got to keep going? Like, what would you tell somebody that's listening right now?
Yeah, that's good. Man, I would say, you know, as hard as it is to see out of where you're at in the moment, because it just feels like you're drowning, there's so many lessons that you're learning during that part of your life. And it's frustrating. But when you make it out, you can, everybody can, because the worst thing that can happen is you get fired or you get behind 1 month or you whatever. And, you know, at the moment you're like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. But that's what community is for. It's what family's for. And hey man, I just need some help. And when you get out of that, when you get on the other side of that, you look back and you're like, man, I learned patience in a different way that I've never learned patience before. I learned how to serve in a completely different way. I learned how to honor people. I learned how to talk to people, even when I didn't feel like being cordial or nice. I learned how to make a game plan when I was so tired that I felt like my eyes were bleeding. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's so many like little things that make the character of a strong individual that you learn at your weakest point.
Yeah. Hopefully that benefited somebody that's listening or watching right now, wherever you are in your space. I mean, we've just come off, if you're listening to this, a year for the ages for most people. And, you know, for some, you know, they were blessed to figure it out, but it didn't come by happenstance. It came from the lessons, right? And you and I know this, that, you know, those things actually prepared us for that season to say, okay, let me pause, let me be present. How can I figure this out? I've just got to pivot. I've done it before. So that happens. And you stumble upon another job and you get a camera in your hands, maybe for the first time. And you're filming yourself, you're filming your workouts, you're filming, you know, some stuff, but maybe you never post it. But you're just intrigued about this piece of equipment. Can you take us there? Like, when was that moment that you're like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. Let me just explore this.
Yeah. So I was working out at a CrossFit gym, CrossFit Strong. And I guess you could say I was technically like a professional CrossFit athlete. I was on a CrossFit team where we had qualified for, you know, some professional events. So during that time, I was always around cameras, people were taking photos and whatnot. And I was starting to make money personal coaching for people. That remote coaching thing turned into something bigger. And I had like 14 clients at one time. I was like, man, I could really, you know, see myself doing this. It's pretty easy. It comes natural. But that opportunity, you know, specifically with cameras, I'd noticed that when I was programming for people, I was having to like find YouTube links of movements to send to people like, hey, okay, you know, we're going to do three set. We're in a hypertrophy phase or we're building size. So we're going to do 5 sets of 10 of bench press at a 2-1-1 tempo, whatever. And, you know, I'll save the details of nerding out on workout stuff, but I'm having to find videos on YouTube of people doing this exact thing that I was trying to to send to a client. And I thought, man, I could just video my own stuff and upload it to a library. And that would be cool if my clients saw me doing the exercises for them to pull, you know, from the video bank. Mm-hmm. And so my brother-in-law is actually a filmmaker, works for a pretty well-known company. And I was like, hey man, what camera do I need to get?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do. And so he sent me a few, what was my first camera? I think it was a Canon PowerShot.
Mm.
It had like a little flip out screen so I could see myself, and I had like a little tripod and a mic and great camera. I mean, Canon, I mean, it's like Apple. You can't really mess up with a Canon camera. So yeah, I started filming myself. Got into Premiere. Peter McKinnon on YouTube was a great resource, tutorials on how to edit and transitions and adding text and titles and stuff. And for me, I was like, this is, you know, this is really cool. It's like video games kind of, you know, just you get to kind of nerd out and figure out new stuff. And
yeah.
So from there, it just kind of evolved, and I would do one video and post it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it this way. And, you know, this will be better. And the next video, and be like a little bit better. I'm like, oh, that was cool. Okay, I'm gonna do another one. I'm gonna make it a little bit better. And so it's kind of like this game of just like, okay, how good and clean can I make this look? You know, that was kind of the start of it. It was for other people.
Mm, that's crazy. So you started into entrepreneurship really through fitness. And if people miss that, he had a business that he was trying to actually get to full time through just personal training, online training, and even some nutrition as well, which many people are familiar with online coaches. But actually, it was the piece of that, of the picking up the camera and filming for your clients, that you begin to move your attention over to the film and the video and the photography. And you just got entrenched in that, right? Man, yeah,
it was crazy. So that shift happened. I was at CrossFit Strong. My wife and I were living in Plano at the time. Then we moved down to Dallas because it was closer to work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved, the gym that I was going to was just a little, it was probably like a 30 or 40 minute drive. So it was just a little too far. So we moved to another gym, CrossFit Dallas Central, which is where I still work out to this day. And the two, the owner there is great, Spencer Nix, love that guy. I actually met him a while back. And when I was getting certified for my CrossFit level one, he actually instructed and taught that class. And so it was kind of cool to come back and be like, hey man, what's up? He was like, oh, I remember you, man, love to have you work out, you know, whatever. So when I got the camera, I was at CrossFit Strong, moved to CrossFit Dallas Central, and, you know, I was still working with clients and whatnot. And so obviously they see somebody walking with a camera, and Spencer's like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I'm filming some stuff for some clients. And, you know, long story short there, I actually ended up getting offered a job there. Cause I had somewhat of a following, and I actually turned it down, which is so crazy to think about now, because when I initially moved to Dallas, that's where I wanted to work, because I was already a CrossFit coach going through nursing school. And I was like, I would love to work here because CFDC or CrossFit Dallas Central is so well known, you know, just they're one of the most like OG CrossFit gyms to this day.
Yeah.
Like they're one of the few that have made it past 10 years. So from there, I really started like honing in on the video craft. And then Spencer hit me up, or I can't remember exactly how it went. I either approached him or he approached me, but I was like, you know, it'd be cool to do like some video stuff, just something fun and goofy for the gym, you know? And he was like, dude, let's do it. So we did it, and it was a huge hit. People loved it. It was funny. And he was like, man, this would be cool to do like a few a month. I was like, absolutely, let's do it. Like, I don't have no clue what I'm doing. As long as I don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. And so that just kept developing. And for me, it was like a way to get in free reps to practice without you know, you pay me $1,000 to shoot your interview video and then it comes out crappy and you're pissed at me and now you're suing me because we have a contract. You know what I mean? It's like, no contract, no feelings get hurt. I literally just get to use you as practice. And that developed into my first paid gig, which was a wedding from members at the gym. They're like, oh, we love your stuff. And I'm like, you do? Oh, great. Cool. You ever shot a wedding before? Yeah. I shot a wedding before. Never shot a wedding before. But at that time, you know, I had started taking it way more serious. I got out of coaching. I was just focused on school and video. And I was involved at church, which I go to Shoreline City Church here in Dallas. And they have a photo film team, which this, I mean, that's a whole nother side of the story where I was, you know, I wasn't in church, was, you know, my relationship was with God was, you know, pretty rocky. And the community there, you know, really impacted me, loved all the people there. And they just so happened to have a photo film team. And that, I mean, that was a gateway for me to, you know, get baptized and, you know, start working on my relationship with God again. But that was really where I bumped up, you know, the level of, I want to do this full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy if you're listening right now, or more so interesting to see the whole picture, because God is talking to you the whole time, even though you weren't a believer necessarily. You're very surface level, like you said. And he led you not only to a passion, which has now turned into your life's work, that is actually taking care of your family, which you care about, which actually brought you closer to him. And that is so interesting, man, that life works that way. But the cool thing that I want people to know is that you were just building relationships the whole time and just being curious about what was coming into your space. It was like, oh, well, let me just see how I can be better at this. Let me just see how I can help this person. And then it just became like this intrigue around this craft of being better at something, where you wake up every day, it's like, how can I make this with less grain, or how can I make this look more crisp? And you wake up every day now, like thinking those things of how I could just be better, which is so interesting. So you got your first paid gig. Where was the pivotal point that was like, this is it? Was it a combination of the baptism, the paid gig, the frustration, this intrigue, and you were like, I need to go all in on this, which most people are scared to do. They don't know when that point is. Like, can you take us through like that moment where you were just like, I'm done with everything. I'm going all in on my faith. I'm going all in on this cinematography and creative agency.
Yeah. So at the time, I had gotten a job at this company called the Black Tux. I was working there. I think I worked there for 2 years and started out fine. It was a good job to allow me to practice, you know, editing, filming, stuff like that, because it was a client based, or like an appointment based structure. So in between appointments, I was able to watch YouTube videos, how to do this transition, how to open up Premiere, how to start a project, how to, you know, all the stuff. And so the Dallas showroom specifically was a very busy spot, especially in Texas in fall season, because that's when everybody, you know, wants to get married. And so I assumed that I would be, you know, I would just do weddings. Like, I was just going to film weddings and whatnot. So it got busy. I wasn't able to practice my stuff a lot. The company was trying to grow, and I didn't agree with the way that it was growing. And specifically, I had an issue with how they treated employees, all under the name of, we want to make sure that the culture is healthy. And it got to a point where, you know, they were asking for feedback, And when we would give it, they didn't listen and they would do something completely different. And then on the back end, wonder why we were so frustrated and why we had so many questions. And it just got to a point where it was like, I'm just wasting precious breath. I'm literally wasting my time. And I don't like my time to be wasted.
Yeah.
Now you're holding me underwater. You're literally just like stiff arming me and I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one moment was when they knew I did video and they asked me to do training videos. And I was like, yeah, that'd be so cool. It'd be good to use on my portfolio. You know, that'd be cool saying that I worked with the Black Tux to do this for you. And I was like, you know, I'd love to explore that. But that's going to have to be something that's outside of like my hourly pay. And the response that I got back from that was when I essentially, are we allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah.
That was when I said, fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
They were like, well, you're already there. And in between appointments, you can just video it and edit it. I'm like, you're already being paid. And I was like, okay, I see how this is going on. I got it. I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
And so I gave myself a date. I was so frustrated after that point because I it just wasn't fair. I'm very justice oriented. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And there's nothing outside of that. There's grace, but I'm not called to give grace. That's God's job.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. But I just felt like I was being taken advantage of, and I was. I think everybody there was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, all right, October 31st, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? Really? I'm like, yeah, it's my day, October 31st. Mm-hmm. And so when that day came, I had already announced it, so it put a lot of pressure on me to you know, get my stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening. Like, sure, I was pissed when I said this, but like I actually said it. And so like now I have to move.
Mm.
So it's weird when, you know, I kind of compare it to running, right? So like when you're walking, the majority of the time, you're spending more time on the ground than you are in the air, right? So you're in control. When you're sprinting, you spend more time. Sorry, I have a cat that just jumped up here. When you're sprinting, you're spending more time in the air than you are touching the ground.
Yeah.
So tying that in with my relationship with God, I essentially said, I have zero control over this.
Hmm.
You're gonna have to steer me. I will sprint full steam ahead, but I'm trusting you that you will direct the path.
Yeah.
And I had to stick to that because I had already announced it.
Yeah.
And so when that time came, you could call it the hustle muscle definitely kicked in. I was like, this has to work.
It's time to go. There's no other way.
There's no other way. Like I have to pay rent. I have to do this. And so it's all of those relationships beforehand that I had built and prioritized had really started coming in clutch. So the gym that I switched to, that became a retainer client. That wedding referred me another wedding. This person that I used to train was like, hey, I'd love for you to come take some family photos. It was like all of these things that meant nothing because I was genuinely interested in, I guess you could say, I was happy about what I was doing. People saw that and were like, oh, you must really love what you do. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just having fun. Like, I'm figuring it out. I'm so shocked that you trust me in the first place. but when I guess like when you see somebody operating in joy, it's attractive. Like, you know, I just want you to be around. Like, come, you want to do some work?
Yeah.
So that was the moment where I said, enough is enough. I'm pursuing what makes me happy.
Wow, we're at the pivotal point that you're at now. I mean, you've had a little boy. You just bought a house. Y'all are doing well. what would you tell somebody right now that feels like there's, it's like no way out? Like, what is it that you have, now we've gone through your story, and we'll get into the intricacies of the work that you do in just a second. But I think this is the point where you've left, you've gone through all the trials, you're on the other side, and you're looking back down at your life and you're like, wow, it worked. But I had to take the leaps, right? Like, you had to listen to an inner voice that it wasn't always sure.
Just don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's so cliche, but I think taking a 30,000 foot view and being extremely honest with yourself and where you're at in your life, and just pick it apart, dissect it, and call yourself out on every single thing. Where do I want to be? Who do I want to become? That's a big one. Who do I want to be? What is the legacy that I want to leave? Do I want to be known as somebody who worked at the Black Tux? Nah, I'm good. Do I want to be a filmmaker? Do I want to be a lawyer? Do I want to be a doctor? Do I want to be a stay-at-home mom? It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, when you operate in a calling, there's this piece about it that's attractive. And for those of you who don't understand what that is, when you find something you're good at and you're happy when you do it, people notice that and they see it.
Yeah.
So pull out all the stops on it. First, assess where you're at. Are you happy? If you're not happy, find out why. Okay, why am I not happy? Well, I don't like my boss. Okay, well, what don't you like about your boss? Well, he's mean to me. Okay, well, what can you do that will not make him mean to you? Figure out all of the things that you need to do to make where you're at so good that you could stay for another 10 years. Then you leave, because there's lessons to learn in there. The reason why you're unhappy, a lot of it, 99% of the time, it's you're just unhappy because you're just unhappy. Now, there are a lot of external things, you know, that come into play, like the people you work with are rude or whatever, but a lot of that is avoidable, in my opinion. You can fix a lot
there's
of those
choice things. Right, there's a choice.
Yeah, there's always a lesson to learn into it too. It's like, hey, well, I can have better patience, or I could think ahead and maybe have the files on her desk before she asks for them. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, start taking steps. Call yourself out. Everybody wants to be loved, have a loving household, be healthy. So focus on the things that you can control, and then start taking ground on where you want to be. I mean, I guess the answer is just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Stay unhappy if you just sit.
The thing that I got from you that I think was so powerful is really people are thinking about the what is it that I want, or what is my purpose and what is my calling, instead of who do I need to become to receive that? Like, what type of person do I need to become? And you're so right, man. I mean, you have people telling you, I have people, it's like, man, like, you just look like you enjoy what you do. I'm like, I do. Like, I wake up every day curious about life, and it shows, and that attracts the right people into your life, whether it be clients, friends, loved ones, whoever. They want to be around happy people.
Yeah.
And people want to work with people that enjoy what they do. That means they're going to produce the best work, because they're going to figure out a way to make it the best. Even if they are not the top-notch person, they're going to figure it out. So I'd love to jump into your area of expertise really quick, man. So you've worked with some high-level clients. I mean, obviously your business has evolved. You've done photo, you've done video, but you really focus on cinematography. And I think you've streamlined your business very well at this point. What would you recommend from a client standpoint? Well, let's go to a early stage, like cinematographer or photographer. Like, what would you tell that person? Like, where do they need to start to get going? Then we can talk about the client perspective of like, what do they need to look for in maybe a good creative agency?
Yeah, man, early cinematographer. Don't spend too much money on the gear right off the bat because it gets addicting real quick. There's always something new. No, but for real, so for early cinematographers, the creative world in general is very reputation-based. And I would say the first thing, the most important thing is protect your reputation at all costs. Be very careful of who you work with, even if it's a friend. Sometimes it's best to just not work with your friends. Mm. And the reason why is because when you start involving money, it changes things. It's almost like a marriage. It's like when you go from girlfriend, boyfriend to engaged to married, from engaged to married, things change. It's like all of a sudden just a little bit harder. And then you start realizing like, oh, that like we're sticking this out. Like we can't just like argue and like leave. Like we're in bed together, you know? So with clients, with people you work with, be very, very intentional with who you work with and what that relationship looks like.
No, that's so good. What would you tell, like what type of camera do you think they should start off with? Like especially, you know, coaches, consultants, create like what type of camera should they get if they're just starting maybe with themselves before they hire out to somebody? Is there something you recommend?
Man, iPhones are great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for saving money for people, especially starting out, because I don't think the look is king. I think content is king. So if what you have to say is good and people, you know, like the message or they like what you're putting out, then just focus on that. And when you've maxed that out, then look at hiring out. Or if you want to go in full steam with the camera, I would say first assess your need. What are you trying to do? Are you vlogging? Are you starting a YouTube channel? Are you wanting to do interviews? Are you wanting to do a masterclass? Those are all different things that require different pieces of equipment. But if you're just trying to put out content, are you talking, use your phone. There's nothing wrong with that. It's free. You already paid for it. There's no need to, you know, hire out for that. Now, again, you know, once you get to that level of where you're trying to elevate it, I would say then, you know, start exploring some next things. But for early cinematographers who are wanting to take video and take photo, find your need. Do you want photo or do you want video or do you want both? Because that's a thing too. And go down the YouTube wormhole, man. I mean, there's so many videos out there of this is the best for video and this is the best for photo. This is the best hybrid camera. So find which one fits your needs and, you know, just go all in for it.
Yeah. I'm gonna shift over to the client perspective.
Yeah.
If someone were listening right now, it's like, man, like I really wanna hire somebody. Like, what do I need to be looking for in place? Because I think you run your business very ethically, very morally. You have core values. It's like, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get professionalism. You're going to get authenticity, transparency. We're going to make sure that what you want, I can actually provide. If I can't, I'm able as, you know, Journeyman Creative to either, you know, find somebody for you or whatever it might be. What would you suggest for, you know, companies, maybe weddings, like what should people look for in a good cinematographer or creative agency?
Yeah. I mean, most people are going to like Instagram for a portfolio nowadays. No one really is asking for like a business card or, hey, where, you know, what's your website? It's all kind of on your phone. So you can go look at the work. So I would say like whatever your style is, find your style. Or find someone who matches that style or who has work to show that they can work and make this look this way. So I would say find someone who has the aesthetic that you're going for. Two, punctuality across the board. Creatives are notoriously unorganized, scatterbrained, unprofessional, all in the name of, oh, I'm just a creative. Like that's, for me, that's not cool. And I would say I'm not the most creative person, but where I've found my avenue of success is I'm very organized and structured. So all of the gaps that an extremely talented creative person is, I've found my niche in those gaps of, okay, I see what you're doing. I can copy that, but I'm very structured and organized. So I'm going to serve you as a client and be on time. Invoices are due this time. Here's a timeline of the day. We're going to start at 9:00 and at the very latest, we'll wrap at 3:30. And so when they see this, they're like, oh, you're honoring me for my money. And at the same time, you're making it look pretty dope too. That's where on a client base, look for that. Yeah. Look for somebody who is not, you know, charging you 10 grand for a 30-second promo video. Now, if it's for the Super Bowl, you know, it's different. But yeah. If like, hey, Caleb, I'm starting a business. I'd like to do like a talking head video, something just kind of talking about my company and what it stands for. Don't hire somebody because they're only going to charge you $300. You're going to get what you pay for. And great. Then also don't, I mean, if you want to pay 10 grand for that, you can. I mean, you probably get some dope stuff, but it's like you paying for Old Navy workout stuff or Lululemon workout clothes. There's a difference, right? So don't be stingy and don't be stupid with your money, I guess is a good way to put it. But find a creative that matches the characteristics that you're looking for. Someone who's on time, someone who's very professional, someone who can get the job done and make it look good, and someone who will honor and serve you at the same time.
Man, those are such good points, because guys, if you're listening and not able to maybe watch this in some way, I can attest to this. Like I actually hired Caleb to do a speaking event for me, and the way that he was organized with the files that were sent at a certain time, the way that, hey, you know, we're going to mic you up here. I'm going to get this angle. But it was really intentional with the questions that you asked. I think you asked really good questions as a creative and as really an entrepreneur and a business owner. It's like, hey, I can do the creative work, but I need to know what my client actually wants. So I'm not taking too much of my creative energy, because sometimes I found creatives and they're like, I can do kind of my work. And some people want them almost like a tattoo artist. It's right. It's like, hey, just do what, I'm hiring you to do your work. I want this, just have at it. But I think with you, what you do well is that you ask intentional questions to get the full viewpoint of like, where can my creative boundaries go? I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong, but I think you just said it.
That's a good point too. There's a funny post I came across yesterday. It was, it said a $500 client. And then it was like, I really need this to work. I need you to help me drive my ROI. I need you to really get the point across. I really need this to look beautiful. And then underneath it said $50,000 client, invoice paid.
Exactly.
It's funny how the more you pay for something, the more you're like, hey, I trust you. But at the same time, you do need some clarity on, hey, so what are we going for here? What is the purpose behind this video shoot? Mm-hmm. What do we want this to look like? Where is this going to be living? Do you need this in 16:9 or do you need this for Instagram stories? Are you running ads on this? There's a lot of intricacies that you get out of the way in the initial consultation and then in the follow-up creative call that are so important. But after that, it's like, hey, I got it. I don't need you to help me hit the record button too. Like you paid me to do work, so let me do the work. But
exactly,
I'm also going to give you everything you need beforehand so that you're not having to look over my shoulder.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of creatives get frustrated, is they're like, man, they just won't stay on my business. And I'm like, what, did you kind of lay the groundwork first?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, they paid the invoice and that was it. I'm like, well, they probably have a lot of questions.
Exactly. Man, this has been awesome, man. Two questions that I ask towards the end of any podcast guest is, number one, how are you evolving right now? Like, what are new projects? Like, where do you see the business going? Because guys, if you didn't know, I mean, this has happened to where he's developed this successful creative agency and business in less than 2 years. I mean, like, it has gotten to a point where he's working with the top companies, top people, not just in Dallas, but traveling around the country, partnering with amazing creatives. So if you're looking for a creative, if you're looking for cinematography, photography, things of that sort, like, make sure you click down below in the show notes and reach out to Caleb. But Caleb, how are you evolving, maybe as a man, as a new father, as a husband? Like, you're chasing the next version of you, right? So yeah. What are you trying to do to make sure you're evolving? And it could be business, it could be family, it could be your personal life. And then, you know, we'll go into where people can actually find you.
Yeah. One of my favorite speeches is by Matthew McConaughey, where he's doing his award-winning speech, and he's talking about his chasing his hero in 5 years. Mm. And the point of it is, he's, you know, in 5 years, when he gets to that point, he's still chasing his hero in 5 years, which is himself. And he never ends up reaching that point, because he's always trying to reach the next version of what his hero is. So I would say, all encompassing, family, business, relationships, I'm so intentional on the relationship side of things, and how I can best honor you in that, whether that's professionally, just friendship, my son, my wife, all of the things. So to answer your question, my evolve is how can I serve you better? Mm-hmm. That's my intention with everything nowadays. Because what happens, it's kind of funny, because it ends up being reciprocated. If I serve you, if I go above and beyond your expectations and I serve you from A to Z, you're most likely going to serve me back. And I don't do it in a way of, I'm going to do this so I can get something in return. I do it because it's the right thing to do. Mm. And there's honor in that. And there's a good reputation that comes after that. And people will speak highly of you. You will enjoy your work with me, and vice versa. So the relationship of just serving and honoring is where I'm evolving. I want to be better at that.
Yeah, that's so good, man. And I can see that firsthand. I mean, from meeting Caleb for the first time, what was that, 4.5 years ago now? Yeah. Something like that, 2016. I mean, the way I've seen, I mean, obviously I've evolved as well, but the way I've seen him as just a man, now a new business owner, to where I remember him asking me questions like, Ryan, how do you do this? And like, him running his business like he does is truly not only a CEO of his life, but also of his business and his, you know, just personal business, you know what I mean? So it's amazing to see, man. Where can people find you?
Yeah, man. Instagram, journeyman.creative. Not really on Facebook, or have a website. I like to keep it that way. I kind of enjoy being somewhat exclusive and working with people via word of mouth. Maybe for a different time in a different podcast, you know, we can talk about, you know, when people start hitting you up for a lot of stuff, you're like, okay, I get to choose the people that I work with now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to talk. Instagram, DM me, reach out. Facebook, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, mainly Instagram, man. Slide into the DMs.
Love it.
I'll hit you back. We can set up a call, and yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Love it. Love it. Man, this has been amazing, brother. This has been awesome. Hopefully anyone listening, or if you're watching this, that you've gotten some value, you've heard a story that maybe resonated with you, that you're stuck in a hole, you don't know who you are, you're trying to figure out all these different things, intangibles of life that maybe you just can't control, and you're trying to figure out how you can take control and become the best version of yourself. So hopefully this has inspired you, empowered you to see that it can be done. If one person can do it, you can do it. That being said, thank you all for listening or watching this. Hopefully you have a wonderful rest of your day wherever you are in the world. Please don't forget, make sure to rate and review this and share it with one person. If they need to hear it, if you're on here supporting Caleb, we welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to go out and check our previous episodes, there's other amazing guests that are on this podcast, also solo episodes here that can help you evolve into the best version of yourself through health, business, and personal development. That being said, we'll see you all in the next episode.